Catherine, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Right hand over your heart. Salute. Ready. Begin.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I guess I was in a 4th of July event, and they were just doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and I had my head on, and somebody came by and ripped it off me. Threw it in my chest. I'm like, good job.
Yeah.
Wow, it was in the VFW convention.
All right. Roll call. Alan, can you give us a roll call, please?
John Murick, present.
Josiah.
Eric Duane, present. Alexis Federico.
Here.
Robert McDonald.
I'm here.
Catherine Morrison.
Here.
Michael Rannigan.
He's just coming, right?
Yeah, he's just 2 minutes away.
2 minutes away.
Sorry. Stephen Vargas.
Here.
Stephanie Wade.
Present.
Yeah, Coram.
All right, good. It's Michael up on my name. All right, at this time we have a public comments. If anybody would like to address the committee, you're welcome to.
No public comment. I have the public comments.
Anybody didn't fill out a form, would like to speak?
Thank you.
Perfect, Michael. Thank you.
Well,
all right, presentation. Oh, what's our presentation?
Richard Owens.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Richard Owens. I work with the Jamboree Housing. I'm a senior director of Community Impact. But veteran housing is near and dear to my heart, being a vet myself and served 8 years active duty in the Marine Corps, and I'm currently in the Army Reserves. So right now I've had a total of 23 years. I just passed my 23-year mark earlier this year. So continue to serve when you collect the retirement, and then I'll get out. But until then, I've really been working in veteran service. I've actually left teaching about 10 years ago to get into veteran services and to start working with homeless vets. So being at Jamboree has allowed me to do that. And I want to share some of the things we've been able to accomplish over the past 5 years working at Jamboree here in Orange County. So Jamboree, our mission is that we're going to deliver high quality services and affordable housing for individuals. Our main thing is we want to transform lives and impact communities. And that's what we try to do. Our vision is that everyone will have a strong, healthy, sustainable, equitable, and just community. And Jamboree is statewide. So while I'm focusing on what we've been able to accomplish in Orange County, Jamboree's mission is statewide. We have offices here in Irvine. We also have an office in Sacramento. We have housing in San Jose. We're all the way up to Chico and then all the way down as far as San Ysidro. So we are throughout the state. This is a population that we serve. We've got families, veterans, seniors. Primarily, some of our focus is with homeless and PSH, and then also providing special needs. Some of our communities here, so we'll show, highlight the veteran communities in Orange County. We have Heroes Landing. Heroes Landing was the first 100% permanent supportive housing for veterans in Orange County. There are 75 units there. Of those, 20 are two bedrooms, 70 are one bedrooms, and 20 of them are coupled with MHSA funding. So veterans that are able to get in there are able to receive assistance from those 20 are able to receive assistance from the county and the VA. The other 55 are served through the VA. We have additional services on site. So all of our permanent supportive housing, we not only have the VA case managers, but we also have our resident service coordinators. We have providers on site who are working and providing not just those immediate housing needs, but daily community needs and building community events and having things. So right now is our busy season with the holidays coming up. We've had holiday events with Halloween. We participate in National Night Out. We have Thanksgiving dinners that are planned, and we have Christmas events planned as well. So our newest one is Salida del Sol. That one is in San Juan Capistrano. And that was a unique site in that it was built in conjunction with building a new city hall. It is literally right across the way. There's a courtyard in between city hall and the building. And here we have 10 VASH units along with permanent other PVB units or project-based vouchers. And we have some affordable housing built in there as well. There are 9 units of affordable housing. We have Buena Esperanza. Sorry, I'm just getting over something. And so I've got a little bit of a cough. Buena Esperanza is in Anaheim. There are 20 VASH units there. This was our first motel conversion. It was actually one, this project actually helped spark HomeKey and the state's design for converting motels. So this used to be a Econo Lodge, and now we turned it into supportive housing. We have Clara Vista and Aurora Vista. Those are also 2 motel conversions that were previous HomeKey projects. Each one of those has 10 VASH units as well. And then Santa Ana, in addition to having Heroes Landing about a mile away off of Harbor, we have Estrella Springs. And Estrella Springs is an interesting mix of individuals. It's 100% supportive housing. We have 34 VASH, and we also have 4 VHHP, which is the CalVets Veteran Housing and Homeless Prevention Program. And so we have 4 units there. Those 4 units do not have to be VAT eligible, which was something that whenever we initially started this project, this was before the VASH expansion and before the VASH started being eligible for more veterans. We wanted to find a way to house veterans that were not VASH eligible. So that meant either through discharge criteria or whatever it may be, we still wanted to help veterans. And through, because of the VASH expansion, we were able to expand our VASH units there. So we have 4 units that are dedicated to veterans not eligible for VASH. And so we're able to assist them as well. And so to date, we've been able to serve 385 veterans, and that was since Heroes Landing opened in June 2020. So from June 2020 to today, we've been able to house and serve 385 veterans, and we currently have 163 veterans being housed through Jamboree Housing here in Orange County. We have a total of 159 VASH units and 4 the 4 VHHP units. And so that was just real brief down and dirty of what we've been able to do. One of the key things here is that when we initially started going with Heroes Landing, the 2019 hit count showed that we had 311 veterans that were identified as being homeless, and we've now been able to serve 365. I know our hit count is still high, but in addition to Jamborees, there are other housing projects that have been built as well. Mercy Housing, Mercy House, along with others, have also built additional projects here in Orange County. So at this time, I'd like to open the floor for any questions or comments that somebody has. Yes.
Richard, you and I sort of touched base briefly on this a while ago, but we didn't have a chance to get a fuller answer. I want to understand what Jamboree and other housing providers in Orange County are doing now that the HUD guidance is talking about taking away money that's in going to housing first models and saying we're not going to pay for that.
Yes. So Jamboree is advocating with all of our elected leaders at every level to continue the housing first model. We've seen it to be successful, and we continue to advocate. And that's really all we can do at this point is to share our success stories and share how and why housing first works. And I know there's a lot of discussion around housing first, and housing first is essentially it's a philosophy, it's a way of treating homelessness to where we say we're not going to not house someone because they have an addiction issue, they have substance abuse or mental health issue, that by providing that housing first, then we can start addressing those other issues because we've taken them out of a survival environment where they're sometimes using substance abuse to be able to cope with their existing environments of being unhoused. Now that they've got a house, they've got a permanent place to sleep, we can start addressing some of the issues, whether it be substance abuse, whether it be employment, whether it be a discharge upgrade, whether it be getting them connected and allowing them to receive, begin receiving disability compensation payments, whatever that may be. It's hard to do that when someone is unhoused and doesn't have a permanent address and doesn't have a place to sleep and a place to prepare themselves to go to some of these interviews and to help navigate the various systems that are out there. So by using Housing First, by providing that housing and getting them in there and stabilized, and then helping them get connected and ever find success.
So my question is more concrete. So, you know, like take Heroes Land, the first dedicated housing for veterans here in Orange County. How, assuming that HUD follows through on what they say their new policy will be, which is that they're going to cut the funds for Housing First models,
mm-hmm.
what's that going to mean for Jamboree Housing's project at Heroes Land?
That's a good question. That's a question that we're asking and we're exploring. We don't have an answer for it yet, but right now, existing properties, my understanding is that these properties may not be impacted. It's future projects that will be impacted by that. So right now, because all of our properties are set up and Jamboree does this throughout the state, is all of our funding, the ongoing operations is paid through the rents. So when we receive the rent, that's how we're able to help support the services that are going on. So our model is where we're not dependent on ongoing support from the government or for funding, that we're able to utilize the rents to pay for the operations. So I would see it in the possible impact would be for any future projects that we have, but our current projects we have are set up in a way to where the funding is stable, even if we were to lose funding from or support from the federal government for that.
Thank you. That's good.
Do you have any plans for future projects? And then how do you get in, like, at what point in the development process do you all get involved? Like, say I live in Dana Point and there's approval for a new development for mm-hmm. apartments, and a certain number of those have to be, you know, low income housing.
Right.
Yeah. How do you guys get involved?
So there's, I'll answer that in two parts. The first is how do we get involved, and then I'll answer the future projects. So the how we get involved is each city or typically puts out an RFP or request for proposal. And they'll say, we have this property and we want to build supportive housing here. This is what we're looking for. So then all of the affordable housing developers will look at what the city is offering, what the proposal is, and they make the decision on whether this is a place that they want to pursue or not. And a lot of it's based on, are there vouchers to support the future project? How much is the city supporting it?
I'm going to assume that that's already been settled. So yeah. There's already an agreement to develop, and they say, we're going to set aside X amount of units. Yeah. Do you guys get involved and then say, yes. Hey.
So once the city puts out the request for proposals, and then that's when they begin receiving all of that. If we're aware of a city or we're aware of a parcel that's available, we'll also reach out to the city and say, hey, we see this is available. We'd like to build it. Will you partner with us to build affordable?
Okay, so you guys you build the entire development.
Yes.
It's not, you don't come in and just sponsor specific units.
No. Yeah, we build the, all of these are all Jamboree properties. Yes. Yes. The second part is future projects. And this is actually something that I talked with Orange County Housing Authority about, and with Jamboree's development team. Right now, through Prop Fund or Prop One, right, we had the Home Key Plus funds come out. So that, and there was, I want to say, was it $1 million dedicated to veteran housing through there? The problem with those funds is that those funds don't come with vouchers, which then makes it difficult to fund the project long term and to be able to provide the services, because with the voucher, a VASH voucher comes with VA services. Without that, it's on the developer to find the funds for that. The Prop 1 funds do not allow for you to provide services. And so that's a big sticking point with developers, is how do we fund the services? Because we know building housing is one component, but what makes our model successful is the wraparound services. Now, CalVet and HCD, California Housing Commission Development, understood that, and they've offered a $30,000 subsidy for 10 years. But after 10 years, there's no funding for ongoing services. And we know through all of our projects that we can't stop services at 10 years. You have to be able to continue and provide services throughout the long-term longevity of the project. And so even though they offer that initial amount up front for 10 years, it's still not sustainable. And we've put it, we've done the budgets for it. It's not sustainable for us to be able to build and properly support that project for a long term. The second issue is that Orange County currently doesn't have any project-based BASH vouchers. We've used them all. And so the only vouchers that are currently available are tenant-based vouchers, which is where a veteran receives a voucher and they're able to go to any place throughout the county that's renting and apply their voucher there. The only way that we'd be able to do this is if we had a city that's willing to build veteran housing and the county and the VA agree to convert some of their tenant-based vouchers into project-based vouchers. But that takes a process because right now the VA says we're saturated with project-based housing. We don't need more project-based housing in Orange County. We have enough of it as it is. And they don't see that there's a demand for project-based housing, that there's a bigger demand for the tenant-based vouchers. So that's where the dilemma we're at in Orange County right now with building more projects like this or being able to do that. And that's why you see we had 75 in Heroes Landing. Those 75, the Santa Ana Housing Authority went in on a proposal, submitted a bid to the VA. The VA put it out there that they had X amount of project-based vouchers. So Santa Ana Housing Authority applied and got 75. That's how we were able to build Heroes Land and get it 100% better. And it's because the Housing Authority itself after that. So again, what we're seeing in HUD is we're seeing some changes. We don't know how that's going to impact us, but we just don't have in Orange County, we don't have project-based vouchers to apply to new veteran-specific projects.
Is there data to show which does better, tenant-based folks put into tenant-based or into permanent supported housing with the wraparound services?
So that is tricky because you have to get the VA to cooperate and share the data.
I've got a secret.
And if anybody has tried to work with the VA to share data, you understand that they don't want to share the data. And a lot of the reason why is because they don't want the information to be out there of what is working and what's not. They want to say they're housing vets and they have these tenant-based vouchers. But they don't always want to share how successful that is. And part of ours is what is the recidivism, right?
Right.
How often do you have someone with a tenant-based voucher? Because we see it. Individuals who have a project-based voucher, they move in and they struggle. They have lease violations. They struggle with moving into some type of independent living, and we work with them. We don't move immediately towards eviction. That's not how a lot of marketplaces work. Market rate rent, they want their rent and they want you to be quiet. They don't, and if you start causing problems, they're gonna start working to get you kicked out. And so there, I'm sure there is data. I don't have it and I don't have it readily available. But I would say based off of our, because we do have, I mean, again, we have how we're currently have 163 housed, but we've housed 365 over the past 6 years or 5.5 years. And so that tells us that people are moving out. Not all of those are moving out because they want to. Some of those are eviction, and why we eviction is our last resort, it does happen. So we see that at a project-based site where we're working with vets and we use it as a last resort. Who knows what it looks like on the tenant-based side?
Well, Alexis asked you about future projects coming.
Yes.
What the project you're doing in Brea, what's going on with that?
So the Brea project is not veteran, but it is 100% PSH. And so that one that's coming up, it'll be 34 units, and 33 of those units will be used to house unhoused individuals. Those will be prioritized through the Northern Swall because it's in Brea. So our northern Orange County cities will be able to be housed there. Veterans are eligible for it. So all of our supportive housing, veterans are eligible, but they typically don't pull from the veterans registry for those. They will pull from the individual registry. So in Orange County, there are three primary registries that you'll see. There's an individual, and this is all through the coordinated entry system. There's the individual registry, there's the veterans registry, and a TAID registry.
Transitional Age Youth.
And so typically the way that projects are filled, it's based on what the population is. So if we see that there's 33 units there for individuals, they will go to the individual CES. They will not go to veteran CES to also pull from there. Yes.
How many new projects are going to have wheelchair accessible?
So all of our properties are wheelchair accessible, and we do have ADA units there that are available for individuals who need them.
Yeah, but like, how many? Dustin has like 15.
Okay.
So it's not a whole lot.
Right, yeah, it's not a lot. I will admit, it's not a lot, but we do have the ADA, and then there are they do have the option of submitting a reasonable accommodation. And so then we can go through and make modifications to help modify to make a non-ADA unit ADA compliant, or at least provide some aids in there for that. So even though we don't have a lot, we do have the ability to modify units to help make them more accessible to individuals.
One safe round, literally. Is anybody relinquishing any of their civil liberties to live in any of these establishments? The reason I ask is because I have student veterans on the campus that I work at. I have people in my district, constituents who are sexual assault survivors, people who had credible threats on them when they came home from Iraq, Afghanistan, things like that. And then they're trying to get into this housing and they're being told they can't own a firearm.
Yeah. So if they're being told they can't own a firearm, bring it to me, because that's not a requirement.
I'm not saying jamboree.
Okay. I'm just saying if it happens at a jamboree site, you can bring it. The only way that would happen is if they're moving into a shelter or some type of congregate setting. They're not allowed to bring weapons or firearms. Okay. Here, they sign a lease. They are allowed to have, as long as they are, it's registered firearm and they go through all the, law in California of trying to get a firearm, they're allowed to have it. It has to be locked and stored properly, and they're not allowed to brandish it on site. So we had an incident at Heroes Landing where somebody came out with a BB gun. And so we had to talk and say, look, you can't be walking around with your BB gun out. Even if it's a BB gun, it needs to be in a case if you're transporting it from your unit to your car. No civil liberties are being asked to be given up to move into these into the properties. I will say I have a safe round, and that is what we need in Orange County. And what we need is we need dedicated senior facilities and a place for older adults. Because what we're seeing is that older adults are being priced out of the market rate apartments. As the cost of living continues to go up, and as the apartment costs continue to go up, we're finding more and more seniors are able to pay rent, but they're not able to pay rent at the market rate right now. And so one of the needs and one of the things that I'm advocating for at Jamboree is that we try to build a affordable property, not based on, not needing a voucher, right? Because this is our affordable, all of these properties that you see, or any permanent supportive housing property, individuals pay 30% of their income, and 30% of zero is zero. So they have no income, they don't pay rent. And a housing authority requires a minimum of $50. So that's Santa Ana specific. But the rest of them, they just pay 30% of what their income is. So rent for some of them are as low as $10, or it could be up to $130, right? Whatever that 10% is. And they have to be income qualified, meaning that they have to be under 30% the average median income. BASH does allow a larger portion of that,
but other funding sources restrict us to have to use the 30% AMI right now. Estrella Springs, we were able to get bumped up to 50% AMI, and so that did help us house veterans as well. But there is a need for aging seniors who are able to pay rent. They're just not able to afford the market rate rent. And so Jamboree's other side, we have the permanent support housing. We also have affordable housing. And our affordable housing is housing that is developed and the rent is based off, same, it's based off your average median income, and it goes between 30 and 60% AMI. And so rent at some of those properties, excuse me, it can be $500 for a one bedroom, or it could be $2,000 for a two bedroom. But, you know, where, but even $2,000 for a two bedroom, you're not going to find that in Orange County, hardly anywhere in a decent neighborhood. You're probably looking at $2,500 or more for a two bedroom.
So for the senior, do you provide, is that full services as well? Like shuttles to hospitals, medical appointments,
yes,
things like that?
Yes. And if we don't provide it on, we have vehicles that we can provide the assistance, but if not, we work with different agencies that can provide the transportation for that as well. And we also have resident service coordinators who are on site who help coordinate community events, because we know one of the key things in the older adult population is social isolation. And so we want to create a community. And so we do a lot of stuff on site. We do bingo nights, we do movie nights, we do games, we do all kinds of, a lot of interactive things on our senior sites to help get that engagement and encourage individuals to come out and be a part of the larger.
What is the minimum number of units that you would consider premium for?
I think our smallest unit, so Aurora Vista is 20 units, and that was a motel conversion. Diamond, which is our oldest PSH site, it's in Anaheim, it's 25 units. So I would say for supportive housing, we're probably looking 20 to 30 units, somewhere in there. The Brea project I was mentioned, that's going to be 34 units. So it unit size, oh, actually, I think back. We have a 16-unit affordable housing in Long Beach. So we will go that with some smaller units, but we try to keep it at 20 or above, just to make the dollars make sense.
All right. So we have somebody, you can come to person. Can I just send you an email saying,
I wish it was that easy. I will explain, it's not that easy to get in. All of these properties are filled through the coordinated entry system. So the first point of contact, I always refer people to contact the VA, the CRRC, and get assessed to see if they're VASH eligible. And if they are, the CRRC can help get them on the veteran registry. They have to be on the veteran registry to be matched to our units. Unfortunately, it's not where, hey, I have a vacancy, let me go find somebody and I wish it was, but it's not.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Oh, sorry.
How often are you at 100% occupancy?
Most of the time. Yeah, if it's not 100% right now, Estrella Springs, it's not 100%, but we have six in the process. And again, it takes from match. So once we, the way the housing process works is we let the county know that we have a vacancy. And so then the next veteran registry meeting, they will announce that there is a vacancy at this property. This is what the requirements are. And they'll go through the list to see who gets matched to it. So the unit may be vacant, but someone's in the process, and that process could take 3 to 6 months for them to get all their paperwork in to get them into the unit. But typically, it's a very fast turnaround with us going from a vacant unit to getting someone matched.
All right. Thank you so much for the presentation. And thank you, Catherine, for setting that up. And so if I can take a prerogative, I'd like to take a picture up here because we have a young lady out here, Joey.
Let's go get her.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, you've got to wait until the end. And so we're going to come up here and take a picture of the board members, please. They are veterans.
Okay. Should come in. It's not like you buy it. Perfect.
Okay.
Right in front of this
place. Nice.
Bye. Bye.
Good. You want to meet you from you guys in the middle? Or kind of
all around? Do you want to start into the right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so next is the meeting schedule for next year. We have a proposal. Just want to make one change there in November. It was already scheduled for the 11th, I believe, which is okay. So we switched that to the 18th. So on that November, it would be the third Wednesday of the month, right? Not the second. Otherwise, anybody want to check their schedule and see if they have any issues with that?
Motion
to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Eric. All right, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you, Alan. We'll go with that schedule. All right, our next item on the agenda is election of officers for the next year, 2026 year. So at this time, we'll accept nominations from the floor to conduct elections for the following positions: chairperson and vice chairperson for the term of 2026. Have any nominations? Do I have any nominations?
Nominate Eric for chair.
Thank you. And do we have any further nominations for chair? All right, and now we have a vice chair position. Do we have any nominations for vice chair?
Yeah, Catherine Morse.
Any other nominations for vice chair?
Well, we have to have that support.
Okay. Any other nominations for Catherine or for vice chair? All right, seeing none, I'll close the nominations. We have a nomination for chair, Eric Wayne, and vice chair, Catherine Morris. We'll take that as a one vote. That's all right. And with that, I'll call for the question. Do I have a nomination or do I have a
motion to accept?
Give me a motion to accept.
Second.
All right.
For the record, who motion?
Me.
Okay.
Robert motioned. Stephanie second. Okay, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that concludes that. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right, you'll take over the.
No, maybe congratulations and condolences. They both special.
The first meeting in January, then, right? Because we're dark in December.
Perfect.
All right. And then our next item of business is, we talked about this last time, and thank you for shortening it a bit, get it on two pages. So we have a letter, review and approve sending the OCVAC letter of support regarding recommendations for relief hardship related to pet ownership to the Orange County Board of Supervisors. You guys all review that? You have a chance to review that? Any comments?
I have a comment, Trevor. Just so excellent letter. Thank you so much for drafting it. I only had one suggested correction for a typo. Paragraph 3, third line from the bottom that starts with but wasn't able to attain. I think the but should be the chair. So while some facts were clearly established, the chair was unable to attain per data. There is a small typo, but other than that, it's excellent.
Perfect. Eric, you got that noted? I'm sorry, Alan?
Yes.
Okay. So with that correction, we'll prepare a final, and then I'll sign that. Let's get that off.
May I make a motion to approve?
Second.
That's motion by Alexis. Motion second. Right here.
Motion with the correction.
Did all those signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Good. Executive committee report. That concludes my executive committee report. And Eric. Eric is not here to give a VSO report. Any other updates? Okay. And then Ben Gale is unable to attend as well. We got notification of that. So we'll go to our standing committees. Robert?
Communication. They're not here because they were down in San Diego last week for the Calvin summit. So, and that's kind of where my report is. It was the summit. They had each one of the links of Ben Gale's Southern California, each one of the links across the state made presentation. They went back to that format so more people can get more information about what's going on and some of the things, cash vouchers and housing, and with some of the new people on the CalVet board, a new women veterans person, a new minority veterans person. And so that those kinds of things went on. One thing that stood out constantly at the program was that most of the presentations and most of the groups that were coming in to speak all kind of echoed one thing, and that's that we need to go out to the veterans. Okay. Mm-hmm. That was paramount. And I'm just bringing it up because that was the thought process. We need to go to veterans. And so we need to, I would suggest it down the road, start the first part of the year, we take a look at that. I don't know how that looks or if it works in Tulane, but we need to start going out to our veterans. Okay. That was the part. From the other part of the communications, we've done pretty good with going out to different places for Veterans Day and stuff. In fact, we got one more tonight that I have to attend. But we were pretty well represented. Although it's very nice to have cities kind of call and ask for support to be on the different speaking runs. I use Brendan Muller, who used to work for, he was the veterans rep for Young Kim. He's not with her anymore, but he spoke over the CBA. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the other people we're doing. From a communication standpoint, Luke Correa now has a new veterans representative working for him, and that's Elizabeth Rocha, who used to be at Irvine Valley College, and now so she's the rep for him. So those kinds of to wonderful things happen. And then on another note, I'm putting the finishing touches on our fifth annual Women's Veterans Summit, or symposium, if you will, at Orange Coast College. So we're going to probably do that. I've got the date set for the 7th or the 14th of March. And we plan to make really make it bigger than we had last year. And then the last and final thing that still getting some nice positive feedback, the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, which is one of the historical sororities, came into Anaheim. The whole group brought in somewhere close to 10,400 attendees.
Wow.
So they took up 21 hotels. Just on that Disneyland, the whole nine yards. And they allowed me to be help put together and be part of their Women's Veterans Symposium, which was pretty neat because Tanya Bashir, who was the, our last current demon, but I mean our last women's secretary for Veterans Affairs under McDonough. She came out, and we had two women brigadier generals and two Navy captains that were part of that whole process. There was about 73 ladies there. So that was pretty neat. And I made sure that they got a nice little spin put out. But those kinds of things are continuing that we're doing out in the community and that most people don't know about. But they're talking about coming back again because they said this is one of the best ones they've ever had. Of course, that's our intent, to see that back pocket. I have to admit, though, it was very, very nice. It was very, very nice for the Supreme Basilisk to put me in a special section to watch Earth, Wind, and Fire 2 miles.
Bob, you do so much for women veterans. I mean, you know, there's still time to switch teams if you want to.
You know, there's something about having grown up with a Viceroy commercial, I'd rather fight to switch.
All right, let's move on to Defense and Health Committee.
Hopefully everybody got to attend or participate in some veteran events, tons of balls and everything this year around
actually
celebrations. But as we lead in towards the holidays, I asked fellow council members really to take an opportunity to reach out to somebody you haven't talked to in a while, check on your friends. Sometimes this is an awesome time of the year for some people, sometimes not so good time of the year for people. So I encourage you to, over the next couple of months here, pick 3 to 5 people you haven't talked to in a while, reach out, just check in and say hello. Because we know mental health stuff is so important, especially times around this time.
That's a message yesterday at Atlanta. Thank you.
And I have noticed a lot more events posted on the website and when Big Voice comes out. So good job on that from the staff, keeping us informed of that. There's one other event that's coming up that I would like to bring to your attention. On November 21st, there's a Veterans Cemetery public hearing going to be held. And I prepared a handout for y'all to take a look at. So they are looking for speakers. The key point is that the county has to donate the land up there at the Gibson Canyon, I don't want to say Carmen Canyon, that's fine. Okay. My neck of the woods. Gibson Canyon to the state. And so that's the kind of process. There's seemingly quite a bit of money that's already been set aside and ready to go on that. They really want courage to get this final push on. So the Veterans Committee is going to be local here. It's at the Anaheim City Council Chambers on November 21st at 10 a.m. They are looking for speakers. Only about 3 to 5 minutes you got to speak, but if you're interested, that would be wonderful.
Not that long.
Yeah.
Please. It's not going to be long. Let me focus.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
There will be a panel discussion. Okay. In other words, they will have somebody from the Board of Supervisors, will be a couple members from the Board of Supervisors, someone from the county. Tim Deutsch will be there to update everyone on where we stand with the building of the properties, both from a county's perspective and for veterans' perspective. From the county also will be the real estate individual that's in charge of getting the property and getting it set up to give it to CalVet. CalVet is supposed to have one or two people there to give some more information. And then, of course, Sharon Corsilva. And I'm not sure if Archuleta is going to be there or not. But they will have that kind of group to give everyone an overview. And also, the big push now is to give everybody about 30 seconds to a minute to say, hey, we want the cemetery, or hey, when you're going to give the land to them. When are you going to accept the land? When can we take the land and give it over to them? Because nothing can happen until we now give the land to the state, and the state has to accept. So the Susan Sharon Corsilva is the one who put this together. The other reason why we're doing this, she's doing this, is because it now will allow the state, the Senate, the Assembly, all those individuals to take this and spread it out. Okay, so it's really a public hearing that they could use to put it out into the world. So there'll be no more, they did this, they did do this, we did heard this, all that, just cut all that straight to the chase. And this is very, very important because we're down to that point, all right?
So it's the hearing. So who's putting on the hearing?
Sharon Corksill.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And is it, so Anaheim still owns the land, right?
Well, right now,
the county,
yeah.
So is it going to go from Anaheim to the county to the state or directly from Anaheim to the state? I'm just wondering, it's like, is the hearing, are they going to hold a vote or anything there, or is it just?
No, it's just a hearing. It's a hearing, but it's to try to bring it all together. Okay, because there's so many different components and elements. And I feel that I can't even answer that. I know that we just got to give it to the state.
Yeah.
It's pretty much county property now. I mean, it is county property, but it's still in Anna.
So, Robert, what's the top three arguments you've heard against it?
It's only one person argument.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, but that's been eliminated.
Yeah.
The arguments we had against it was with Larry Agrin and City Irvine that wanted, said that the land the property wasn't truly vetted to make sure that it was environmentally safe and all that. And so we went through the whole process of going to court three times to get that raised, then going and doing a project, going through the assembly and the Senate to go through all that rigmarole and the bureaucratic stuff to get it blessed. So that got all passed.
What's his skin in the game? Why was he fighting?
Why is the cycle
started all the big part.
Yeah. I mean, probably just upset because he wanted to do it in Irvine.
Yeah.
When I worked, and became mayor again, so he tried to try it one more time.
When I worked for Gil Cisneros, I had a 16-page memo just on the cemetery, and that was like 3 years ago. But the gist of it, as far as I can tell, was Larry got into a fight with one of the developers, and that's what the root of it was. And then he just dug in his heels, wanted to be difficult. And, you know, it got personal. But,
at the end of the day, though, the hearing is just, it's basically to inform the public of kind of where we are, where we need to go, give the public a chance to comment. And they would like, I'm sure the Board of Supervisors who supports the project would like us to show up and potentially speak if we can.
I could have said so. But it's also about impressing the federal government, right? I'm not a lawyer, so I'm sorry. Isn't the federal government also the target? And, you know, we need to get the VA, this current VA,
well,
who wanted to support the cemetery, bump us up on the list so that it happens sooner rather than later.
But we're on the conforming list.
Right.
Okay.
But is it 11?
So is the goal quantity or quality? Like, is this something we can go to our local VFW and get more people to show up? Or is it more important that we just have people?
Right.
That
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay.
I think that the backup to county, I mean, that's and Sharon Forks and the rest of them put this together. We're really serious about this. All right. And that's why I'm asking you guys and gals to sign up or give me a note that you want to come or give Nick a call. But we want to have people there. This is important. It's our time to, and yeah, I'll be all over the
state. Can we cede our time to you? And see their 30 seconds to
ooh, ooh, ooh. Me at the microphone. Jeez, I tried to pretend it's the same cobra.
All right, and then so if there's nothing else to come before, we'll just go to council comments. Michael, we'll start with you. Anything?
For me, thank you for serving in the chair position. You did a great job and really took it seriously, and so I appreciate you doing that. Thank you.
John?
I'm good.
Next.
I was going to say thank you for your well-organized and efficiently run meetings as chair. It was a great birthday ball celebration season. I just also wanted to highlight Judge Carter, who's a federal judge out of the Central District. Everyone probably knows who he is, but every year he holds a Marine Corps birthday ball celebration right outside his courtroom in the federal courthouse. So I attended this year, and it was really cool because a lot of veterans from all over, not just attorneys, but a lot of courtroom staff, courthouse staff, and also the U.S. attorneys were there, the AUSAs were there, federal defenders and people like that. And so it was a nice exposure. And he played the commandant's mess. He actually edited down a little bit, but his law clerks were there. And it's just a really cool, cake cutting ceremony. And so, I mean, a lot of members of the legal and law enforcement community, but it's just a really great opportunity for a lot of people in the community. Like a lot of attorneys who aren't lawyers show up. And it's really good exposure. And he spoke a lot about actually issues facing women's veterans. The day prior, I think AMVETS held an event, and Justice Moore, Eileen Moore, was the speaker, and she talked a lot about, if you've ever heard her speak or haven't had the opportunity, you should try to go to an event. And she speaks quite frankly about her experience as a combat nurse in Vietnam and, you know, kind of her treatment and what she took out of the experience. And she's a phenomenal.
She spoke down at CalVets.
Yeah, it was at the CalVets. And so Judge Carter was there, and he essentially spoke, you know, and told everyone, look, our next war is going to be quick, and it's going to be lethal, and it's going to take highly trained, highly intelligent people. And I don't know why we'd ever consider shooting ourselves in the foot by not letting half the population join. And so those are, I think, very impactful remarks from a federal judge who's a Vietnam combat veteran as well, in support of women and diversity in the military. So I just thought that was amazing. And then Flying Leatherneck Historical Foundation and the November 10th Association also held a Marine Corps birthday ball. And VLIs got their Lawyers for Warriors coming up on Friday. It's their biggest fundraiser of the year. So if you haven't gone, or you know anyone in the future who would like to go or donate, they definitely count on those funds and enjoy sponsorships. Then lastly, Dana Point, BFW 9934 helped in another amazing Veterans Day ceremony. We got a lot of participation from the local community, which I thought was great. So all the VFW, American Legions, everyone else,
keep up the good work. You guys, I like see so many footballs, and I'm like, when to Mecula, when to Paramount, when to Buckman and Trish Kelly were out there. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many of them.
I just came back from a vacation. So, but one thing that I was able to do that I haven't been able to do in 20 years is visit a fallen comrade. And he's buried in the National Cemetery in Puerto Rico. And that was one of our cruise stops. And I spent that day locking on transportation. My wife and I went out to his gravesite. I hadn't seen him in 20 years because the last time I saw him was when I did his rifle detail. I was the NCO in charge of it at his funeral ceremony in Santa Monica after he was KIA in Haditha, Iraq in 2005. So that was very poignant and fulfilling. Looking forward to going back and visiting him again. But just something else. And then seeing what the government shut down, state of the national cemeteries, at least the one in Puerto Rico, real bummer, especially to those people who sacrificed everything. So yeah, that was my big experience over the last week. But pretty amazing.
Friday night, there's so much going on, but at the VFW 3173, it's our second Friday of the month, so it's always steak night.
Yeah.
So we'll be honoring the Marines for their birthday, because one of the things we promised, we promised ourselves we were going to do and put on our agenda was to make sure every second Friday, if close to wherever one of the birthdays were, we were going to do, so we get them off to the last one this week. And then also we're bringing in, there's an L.A. Orange County Military Order of the Purple Heart. They have been lacking trying to find members in Orange County. So we're going to honor them also at stake night on Friday night. So we can get them up some support for those individuals. And I'm heading to the Army Ball on Saturday night with Hugh Crooks and those guys over in Monterey Park at the Quiet Camp. So you're right, there's another one there. All right. And then I'm heading, right when I leave here, I'm heading over to Heroes Hall for Katrina Foley, Supervisor Katrina Foley's event on the program. So.
Well, the first thing I want to do is like others, I wanted to thank Steve for his leadership. And in particular, you know, I think the most important thing that happens for veterans in county government is VSO. And I think you did, we've all been talking about the same issues for years, and you were the most impactful we've seen, and you really wrestled and I think made some really positive improvements. It's not, no offense, but it's often hard dealing with the big bureaucracy, but I think we've made this bureaucracy more responsive to veterans' needs. And I think you take the lion's share of the credit for that. And you as well, Eric. I mean, you were both very involved in that. And we're very serious about it. Demanded answers, got them. That was not easy to do. We were joking about the VA and secrets. And you got through it. So I really appreciate that. And the only other two things I had were questions. One question would be, in terms of Bobby's point about getting out in the community, would we be interested in
I'm a new resident of Seizure World, I mean Leisure World in Seal Beach. And we have a pretty high veterans population. I'd like to do a meeting there if that's something the board still wants to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very important about getting out in the community.
Yeah. And so, that's a good idea. I mean, we have a huge community that we're going to work.
Same thing. Then maybe we could do them back to back.
Actually, I'm part of the celebration of the new mayor coming in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So yes.
I'm surprised.
So, we'll leave it there to set that up for the January meeting. But the only requirement is ADA access and then something to
put
their
parking.
The public pass only. My father-in-law lives there, so you have to have a pass to get in there. So I'm going to rely on you and work in that.
I think the way it can work is literally we can just, if the community supports it, the property community supports it, you know, they'll allow to anybody who comes in from the public saying I'm here.
Organization is called Golden
Rain Foundation. Yeah, I know. I'm already lobbying to change that.
Called Tartan Formation.
Sounds like something coming out of skin.
Yes.
All right, Catherine. Wait, I have one other question.
I'm sorry.
This one was
supposed to be the other question.
Yeah. Have we made any progress on name tags and new business cards?
Yes.
Okay. So those are forthcoming.
Business cards on order currently. They are with publishing services. Okay. Or we go to the county. The name tags, I will have to. So
if you could ask about that, because
yeah.
I think that's
the business
important.
Cards are on order.
Thank you. That's it.
So I also want to thank you for your leadership. Thank you so much. And Michael, thank you for bringing that up about, you know, reaching out to Battle Buddies and keeping a close eye, just saying, hey, checking in with you. How are you doing? Actually, one of my Battle Buddies that I serve with, she's really struggling right now. She had some trauma overseas and things are just not progressing well. So I just thank you for bringing that up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfect. I have nothing further. So, I do. I'd just like to introduce us. And so you have actually, there's a potential of you becoming the second district representative for our committee. Is that correct?
I hope so. Yeah.
All right. So, we'll stand by for that. But otherwise, welcome aboard and look forward to serving with you if that comes in reverse. All right, if nothing else comes from me, we'll call it 303.